All right, if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read three verses, beginning at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, today you can go to Walmart or Belk's or Penny's or to a kitchen specialty store and buy all kinds of plates and cups and saucers and bowls and frying pans, and you have them made out of all kinds of alloys and metals and different things. We just have a plethora of things that we can choose from. But back in the ancient days, most people, especially the poor ones, just had clay pots. Now, depending upon the quality of the clay that they found, the skill of the potter, and the usage for which that pot was intended, it could be short and fat, it could be wide, it could be tall, it could be skinny, it could be all kinds of different ways. It could hold various amounts. Now, if y'all, some of you seen my craftsman skills, so you knew if I'd have been making clay pots, they'd be lopsided. They'd probably wobble a little bit. But you know, the important thing was not how the pot looked, but what was in it. If you're in the middle of the Sahara Desert dying of thirst, you didn't care what that pot looked like, just so it's got good water in it. If you're in a concentration camp dying of hunger, you wouldn't care what the pot looked like, just so it had some food in it. If you were sick, all you would care is, does this pot have the medicine that will cure me? And if you were poverty stricken, all you would care about is how many gold and silver coins are in this pot I just found. The pot doesn't matter. It's the contents. And Paul here compares you and me to earthen pots. Look in verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Paul says, we are earthen vessels, clay pots. Now, when you get to be my age and some of your ages, you know, there's a few little cracks. Maybe some worn places. And most everybody's not really satisfied with the way our bodies are. You know, I'd like to lose some weight, gain some weight, be able to walk further, be stronger or whatever. But again, it's not the pot, it's what's in it. What's really important is what's inside. And there's two treasures. The first treasure is the you that's the you in your pot. Now you think about it for a moment. It'll make sense. When you were born, God put an eternal spirit in you. And that spirit is going to live forever. It's going to live forever in a good place or a terrible place. But that spirit in you is a treasure. It's a treasure. And you can do with that treasure that's you whatever you wish. Now, you know, you could go out and buy one of these expensive lawnmowers, spend thousands of dollars. You don't ever change the oil. You use inferior gas. You run it over rocks and roots and everything else. Leave it out in the rain and the snow, and pretty soon this thing's going to fall apart. you can mistreat it. Or you can keep that thing looking good and in a shed and change the oil regularly and be careful about where you run it and keep the blades sharpened, and it'll last for years. The internal spirit that's you, that's going to live forever, is very valuable. After all, Jesus paid it all. He died for that spirit. He died for you. Pam and I had a preacher growing up that many times in his sermons said this, that he believed that if he were the only lost person in the world, everybody else had never sinned, that Jesus would still have died just for him. Jesus died for you. That's how valuable he considers you to be. Awesome that he valued you and me enough to go to a cross and suffer all that he suffered for you. And that which is you, the internal, spirit that is you that will live for all of eternity, you can toss it aside, you can waste it, you can allow it to go to hell, or you can value it and cherish it, give it to Jesus, as we say, give our heart to Jesus, give our life to Jesus. And once we give ourselves to Jesus, then we can nourish that spirit by studying his word and by prayer and by growing. But folks, you have a treasure, and it's you. That internal you that's going to live forever. And I pray that everybody that's here that's old enough to know and to understand is guarding that treasure. You know, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you had all the money, all the prestige, all the property in the world and go to hell, what does it value you? Nothing. Nothing. Jesus talked about a man that searched the world over and found a pearl of great price, and he sold everything he had and said, I'm investing that pearl of great price. Paul talked about a clay pot, an earthen vessel. That's us. That's us. But the important thing is the treasure that's in. And that first treasure that's in you is you. Value yourself. Make sure your spirit is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second thing, that treasure that you have, is the presence of God through the Holy Spirit when you're saved. Paul here is talking about the Spirit of God coming to live within us. Notice Paul says in verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And then he says in verse 6, for God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul says when you're saved and God comes to live within, you have a treasure in you that's unbelievable. You know, sometimes the devil tries to convince us that we're not valuable, we're not important. He's a liar. Every person here that's a believer has the very presence of God in him. Or her. I mean, the God that created this universe. He's a pretty big God to put it all together, make it all work, give us just enough oxygen in the air to be able to breathe, not too much to kill us or not too little to make us oxygen deprived. Put us at just the right distance from the sun so that we can have heat and light and growing crops. Put enough dirt of the right kinds here that we can grow crops. Give us hundreds of different types of crops to feed us. God put it all together and He lives in you. He lives in you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a new creature, Paul says, a new creation. You're born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. And He comes to live within you and me. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Think about it. You may think you're worthless. You can't make any difference. It's not the pot, it's the treasure. And it's amazing how God can take pots that are broken and use them. You know the story of Johnny Erickson? Teenage girl takes a dive into a body of water, breaks her neck, and she becomes a quadriplegic. And yet she has a worldwide ministry of speaking and writing and ministry. You look at the pot that is Johnny, and she glows with the presence of God. And people would say her pot's broken. But the treasure's there. The treasure's there. And the treasure comes out. The treasure comes out. I'm thinking of a guy, and if you think of his name, you tell me. First time I heard him preach at a conference in Greensboro, I thought he was drunk. I mean, you know, he's sitting over here, and they introduce him. I've never seen him before. He looks like he's about 40 years old, and he gets up, and I'm thinking, what are they doing letting that drunk preach? And he gets behind the pulpit, comes to find out he has cerebral palsy. He was born that way. Anybody remember who I'm talking about? David Ring. And he's traveled all over the United States, I know, and maybe the world. He said, I've got cerebral palsy. What's wrong with you? And I remember seeing him on Old Time Gospel Hour one time, you know, Jerry Falwell's program. And, you know, he's dressed up really, really sharp. But as he preaches, he says, you know, we look good. And he pulls his coat off, and he pulls his shirt off, and he's got an old ragged T-shirt on. He said, you know, we really look not so good sometimes. But you see, David has traveled the world sharing Jesus. His earthen vessel was born misshapen. But the treasure's there. And I've never heard him preach that he did not stir the hearts of the people. It's not the pot, it's the treasure. You know, you think about the world you live in. How many people do you know that are dying of spiritual thirst? The Bible says Jesus is the water of life. Could we not give the water of life to those who are dying of spiritual thirst? The Bible says that Jesus is the bread of life. There are people that are hungry to know the ways and the plans and the will of God. Could we not give the bread of life to people that are hungry spiritually? There are people that are dying of spiritual sickness. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. Can we not give them the spiritual medicine through Jesus that will make us, enable them to be better? People are walking in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. Can we not show them the light? Let them see the light in us. What was that verse 6? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. You know, the Bible says God stepped out into nothingness, great darkness, and said, "Light be," and light was. And Paul says that same God has now shined his light through Jesus Christ into our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so that his light in us can be the light of the world to people that are walking in darkness. All around us, there are people in need. There are people that are lost, and they need what you have. They need to see and hear from you about Jesus. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world." Nobody lights a candle, puts it under a bushel basket, but sets it up so it can be seen. So it can be seen. It would be amazing if we were in here and it was total darkness, what one little candle would do if we held it up real high. Now, if we put it over here, back over here in the corner, and put it down at floor level, it wouldn't give a whole lot of light. It'd give a little bit of light, but not a whole lot. But if we had a big candelabra here and just one candle on it, we could light up a big space here in this room. Jesus said, "We're the light of the world." Every one of us has a sphere of influence. It may be in a school. It may be in a plant. It may be with coworkers. It may be with neighbors. Always with family. Places we go, restaurants where we eat. Most of us, after a period of time, we have our favorite restaurants and our favorite waiters or waitresses. Do they see in us the treasure that is Jesus? Now, as I said a minute ago, a lot of people are walking in darkness. And you can argue religion with them till you're blue in the face. And you might as well go ahead and argue with one of these stained glass windows, because they're never going to get it. But when they see Jesus shining out of you on a consistent basis, they begin to think, you know, maybe there is something to this Christianity. Maybe there really is something to his life or her life that's different. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, Paul's saying, we don't strut our stuff. We magnify Jesus. We magnify Jesus. You know, there's several examples in the Bible where Jesus talked about the Pharisees that blowed the trumpets and said, look at my good deeds. And he said, you know, you don't even have to let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. There are ways that you can minister and share the love and the light of Jesus, and people say, you know, they're real. They're genuine. It's awesome to see a Christian that's real, that's genuine, and that the love of Jesus shines through them in a very special way. And it's, to me, it's disgusting to see a Christian that just wants to be noticed, seen, praised, patted on the back, elevated, as if they are the stuff. You know, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, he talked about, you know, said, I came to you and I didn't come to you with fancy speech. I didn't come to you with parading my education and all of this stuff before you. Said, I came before you with weakness and in trembling. In other words, Paul was saying, I wanted you to see not me, but Jesus. When we come to the place where all we care about is people seeing Jesus. You know, I doubt that guy dying of thirst even notices the pot. All he's doing, chugging the water. You know, some of us grew up, you know, drinking out of fruit jars and jelly glasses and peanut butter glasses and stuff like that. Some of you young ones don't understand, but some of us others do. Who cared if it was originally a jelly jar? All I care about was that iced tea that was in it, or that lemonade or whatever. It wasn't the jar, it was the contents. It's not the pot, it's the contents. And if we focus not on the vessel, but on the Jesus, and we let the Jesus that's in us shine out, then we're going to make a difference in our world that's hungry, thirsty, walking in darkness, dying and going to hell. Paul said, the treasure is in you. You've got that treasure that I pray is saved, which is the you in you. And once you get saved, you've got the treasure that is Jesus in you. And when you allow that Jesus in you to be the light and the salt and the witness, you know, another place Paul says, not many noble, not many educated, not many this, and you know, all, not many big shots, to put it real bluntly. But God chose the lowly. Sometimes the devil lies to us and says, you know, you're a nobody. hey, that's just the kind of guy that the Lord can use. You know? When we think we are somebody, then our pride and our arrogance gets in the way. And the Lord has a hard time doing anything through us. But when we are at the place where we said, Lord, I'm just a clay pot. I thank you for my clay pot because I've got to live in it. And so what if it's got a few cracks and dents and flaws? But Jesus, I want you to glorify yourself through my clay pot. Then he says, that's the kind of person I can use. So we all qualify. We all qualify. Don't anybody in here believe the devil's lie that you're not equipped. If Jesus is in you, you qualify to be a witness. And we have our own ways, and our, as I said, we have our own sphere of influence. We have those places where we go that nobody else goes, those people that we see that nobody else sees. And they want to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in us. Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Lives are changed by his power, not ours. His power, not ours. But you have a treasure. You have a treasure. Share it with somebody this week. As we have the invitation, if you haven't taken care of the most important thing in your life, that you, that's in you, you need to do that. You need to give your heart and life to Jesus today. While you have opportunity, you need to give your heart and life to Jesus today. We invite you to do that, but you may need to say, Lord, I want to surrender this old clay pot to greater usage. Lord, if I got a lid on the top of my pot that's keeping Jesus from shining out, forgive me. Help me to remove it. That the people I meet this week will see Jesus in me.